Trust Me, I'm Lying reveals the dark machinery behind our news cycle. As a former media manipulator, Ryan Holiday traded in deception manufacturing fake controversies, planting stories, and watching fiction become accepted fact. From orchestrating nationwide protests against Tucker Max's movie to creating outrage while marketing for American Apparel, he perfected what he calls trading up the chain, planting stories on small blogs that eventually reach major outlets through a predictable pattern of recursion. The economics are simple. Blogs need traffic to survive. Truth is secondary, and anyone who understands this system can exploit it. Eventually, Holiday realized he was feeding a monster beyond his control, one that devours truth itself and has real-world consequences for innocent people caught in its jaws. The news ecosystem has fundamentally transformed. What begins online ends offline. Though millions of blogs exist, a handful of influential ones wield immense power because they're read by media elites. Radio hosts and news anchors who once cited newspaper headlines now repeat what they read on blogs. This creates a hidden cycle that determines our cultural references, celebrities, and news itself. Consider Tim Pawlenty's presidential candidacy nearly 2 years before the 2012 election. With no campaign director or donors, he somehow had a political reporter documenting his every move. The New York Times didn't cover Pawlenty directly, they covered Politico covering him. This wasn't journalism, it was a traffic-generating scheme. Political blogs know their advertising revenue increases during elections, so they manufacture election cycles earlier and earlier. When a blog like Politico leaps forward, their arbitrary coverage choice becomes legitimized, gaining real supporters who donate real time and money. The cycle repeats across all topics. Blogs need traffic, reality doesn't align with their needs, so they create artificial content that impacts actual events. The online media business model is brutally simple. Traffic equals money. Sites earn revenue through advertisements paid by impression. Since publishers and advertisers can't distinguish between engaged readers and accidental visitors, all page views are equally valuable. This creates a single-minded focus on increasing traffic by any means necessary. TMZ revolutionized this approach by turning scoop gathering into a science, generating nearly $20 million annually through major exclusives. Since genuine scoops are rare, blogs perfected the pseudo-exclusive, taking ownership of stories broken elsewhere. One of Gawker's biggest hits, Tom Cruise Scientology videos, generating 3.2 million views, was actually unearthed by journalist Mark Ebner, who received no credit when Gawker posted them first. The real business model isn't sustainable revenue, but acquisition. Blogs chase traffic growth over solid financials because they're positioning for buyouts. Examples abound. AOL bought Huffington Post, $315 million, and TechCrunch, $30 million. Discovery acquired Treehugger, $10 million. Condé Nast purchased Ars Technica, $20-plus million. This creates an environment where ethical corners are cut and conflicts of interest flourish, all serving the ultimate goal of building influence that can be sold to larger media companies. In this ecosystem where traffic trumps truth, manipulators thrive by exploiting structural vulnerabilities. 1. Exploit blogger poverty. Bloggers earn as little as $4 to $12 per post or depend on page view metrics for survival. This creates perfect conditions for manipulation through free products, access, or help building a blogger's personal brand. 2. Tell them what they want to hear. Online verification standards have collapsed. Anonymous tips, fabricated memos, and press releases often appear word for word in news accounts because they do the entire job for time-starved bloggers. 3. Provide viral content. Research confirms that anger drives sharing. One standard deviation increase in an article's anger rating equals 3 additional hours as the lead story on major sites. Positive emotions work too, but sadness kills virality completely. 4. Help them trick their readers. Loaded question headlines drive traffic while avoiding accountability. As Gawker's Nick Denton instructed writers, when examining a dubious claim, don't dismiss it with a skeptical headline. You set up a mystery and explain it after the link. 5. Understand the one-off problem. Like 19th-century newspapers sold on street corners, blogs must fight for attention daily with sensational headlines and content, creating perfect opportunities for manipulators to craft news that sells. The consequences of this system extend far beyond selling products or generating clicks. Consider Shirley Sherrod, who lost her job at the Department of Agriculture after Andrew Breitbart posted a deceptively edited video making her appear racist when her speech was actually about overcoming prejudice. The manipulated clip spread rapidly from blogs to mainstream media, causing a national controversy that even President Obama addressed. For media outlets, such controversies are actually profitable, generating 3 stories instead of 1, the accusation, the reversal, and the discussion about the controversy itself. Despite early hopes that blogs would enhance democracy, they've established their own tyranny of distraction. Americans spend 8 hours daily online, 50 billion minutes daily on Facebook, with nearly a quarter of internet browsing on social media and blogs. The web's supposed empowerment is illusory. Content is engineered to bait, distract, and capture users' attention to sell to advertisers. The link economy fails through a fundamental flaw, combining traditional journalism's delegation of trust with the web's habit of linking to content without verification. This creates a recursive system vulnerable to manipulation. As when an Irish student planted a fake Maurice Jarre quote on Wikipedia that spread to legitimate obituaries worldwide. The Wikipedia editors quickly removed the fabrication. The quote had already contaminated numerous publications, including The Guardian. Iterative journalism, publishing first and verifying later, is a dangerous pseudo-philosophy masking naked greed. Getting bloggers to issue corrections requires either obsequious flattery or aggressive confrontation. Even when corrections appear, they typically come long after most traffic has occurred, buried where few readers see them. Beyond factual errors, corrections rarely address when entire premises of stories are wrong, not just details. We now inhabit what Holliday calls an age of no authority, where knowledge itself has become an empty shell. Our facts aren't fact, they are opinions dressed up like facts. Our opinions aren't opinions, they are emotions that feel like opinions. Our information isn't information, it's just hastily assembled symbols. When reading blogs, understand their coded language. According to a tipster, often means someone like Holliday tricking them. We're hearing reports could mean random Twitter mentions. Leaked documents usually means someone emailed a blogger fabricated information. Breaking stories reach readers too soon without fact-checking. Exclusive typically indicates favorable coverage arrangements with sources. The cumulative effect is unreality. We're surrounded by illusions that make us lash out at others while confusing advertising with art. News cannot be instant, free, or reduced to 140 characters without losing its value. The choice of what to do with this knowledge is now yours. Will you continue consuming media uncritically, or will you question the system that profits from your attention at the expense of truth itself?